Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you, and you're going to be glad you're staying with me because we got our good buddy Dr. Bill Dunkelberg back on the show. Bill is not only a longtime member of our Brain Trust and one of our good friends, he's not only a professor of economics at Temple University, but he is the chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business, NFIB. And every month, for the last 30-plus years, he's been polling small business owners about what they think about the economy on a number of topics, a number of economic issues, operating issues that you and I face every day in our businesses. And he compiles that into a report, and he brings us that report and allows us to talk about it and to publish it on our website. And for that, we appreciate him very much. Bill Dunkelberg, welcome back to the show.
Well, great to be here, Jim.
It's always a pleasure. I know that I was watching CNBC yesterday, and of course, when they come on the air, they always on the Squawk Box, they always say, "Okay, today we're waiting on this information, and we're waiting on that earnings report, and et cetera, et cetera." And yesterday they said, "And we're waiting on the NFIB Small Business Report."
There you go. We
How
like
about that?
That.
You've arrived, haven't you?
And Rush Limbaugh quoted extensively from it yesterday on his program.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
I wish they were quoting something a little more exciting though.
Yeah, I do, and I wish people in Washington were listening, but I don't think they listen to those shows.
I don't think they listen to the shows. I don't think they read. Unfortunately, I don't think they read your report. And one of the reasons I think they don't, Bill, is because I don't think that they understand what they would read. I really think that they would see your Main Street small business information, and I really don't think they know how to process that information. What do you think?
Well, I think that's right, and also, you know, none of those little Main Street companies are going to take them on a junket somewhere. You know,
right? So. Right. Exactly.
So, well, you know, they like the big companies because the big companies have the bucks, make major contributions to their campaign funds, and so once these people go to Washington, they forget us who sent them there.
Well, that's exactly right, and until small businesses really get organized, Bill, we're going to wind up taking the hindmost, aren't we?
Well, I think so. I mean, it's not that we're not organized, but you know, the way things are structured, it's hard for us to exercise the same influence that one big company like a General Electric can exercise.
But look at this, Bill. You're part of the NFIB, National Federation of Independent Business. I've been a member of the NFIB for almost 20 years. It's about, you guys have got about 400,000 members.
Right.
Bill, you know how many millions of small business owners there are in America. And every one of them, from the tiniest to the largest, should justify being a member of an organization like yours, if not yours, another one. And those people aren't showing up.
Oh, well, that's true. Usually, you know, they're too busy running their companies and trying to hang in there.
That's right.
That's the unfortunate...
If your membership tripled to a million people, your small business voice in Washington would go up significantly. And all it would take would be, you know, 500,000 people joining.
Well, I'm in favor of that.
Yeah, I know. No,
There's more people for me to collect data from.
That's exactly right. Speaking of which, I wish you had better news. Your last report, which is the December report, the one we're on today, the optimism level continues to drop, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, it's been the lowest reading that we've had in the past 4 or 5 months. But the best way to characterize it is it went nowhere. It did fall 0.3 of a point, and there was basically driven down by a major decline in plans to increase inventories, which are very important, of course, for the economy. We need all those orders out there for the manufacturing sector and so on. So what the deal is, it just has been sideways for, you know, half a year, and that's usually not the case. That is, when you come out of a recession as sharp, as deep as this one, as sharply deep as this one, then lots of opportunities should exist, and firms usually jump onto this, and optimism really abounds because of the opportunities that are
yep.
there that you can take care of. Well, you know, that's just not happening this time. So if you go back to the bottom of the recession in 82,
yep.
at that point in the fourth quarter, 47% of the owners, net of the pessimists, thought that the economy, business conditions would be better over the next 6 months.
Bill, hold on to that thought. I got to take a quick break, folks. We came into this thing in a unique way. This is different from any other recession in generations. We're going to come out of it differently, too. 2012, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for going there. Thank you for using it. We built it just for you. Lots of stuff there. Don't forget to check out my blog and subscribe to my newsletter while you're there. And listen, read, ask questions. Whatever you got there, whatever you see there you like, let us know. We've got the ability right there on the site for you to, for us to follow you home with more of that stuff whenever we have it. So keep us posted on that. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Bill Duckerberg, Dr. Bill Duckerberg, is our guest chief economist for the NFIB, and we're talking about his survey of economic conditions for small businesses and the NFIBs. And Bill, we're talking about optimism being down. Have you been able to? Do you remember? I know you remember this. In December, other than say December of 08. Typically, isn't December kind of an optimistic month?
Well, usually, usually because sales are looking good. And actually, you know, the end of last year, retail sales did pick up pretty well. But it wasn't enough, I guess, to make people optimistic about the future. So we were comparing it to the last big recession, which was 82. We bottomed in the fourth quarter, and at that point, 47% of our owners, net of the pessimists, thought the economy would be better 6 months later.
Yeah.
They haven't called a bottom to this recession yet officially, but if it's in the fourth quarter, then the comparable statistic will be 11%, only 11%. And if they call it in the third quarter, it's minus 3.
Mm.
So we have a totally different view about the future and the opportunities that are there as business owners than we had coming out of the 82 period. And that's, I think that has a lot to do with what's going on in Washington.
Bill, should you keep saying 82, and I was there too, and from a recession standpoint, that's a good one to use. But perhaps we should be comparing what we're experiencing right now more to the 74 recession and whatever that was after that. I won't call it a recovery, because that was the period that we were introduced to the M word. And you know what I mean by the M word.
Oh, well, I think so, but
malaise.
Yep.
The malaise situation,
yep,
that Jimmy Carter wrought upon us. Isn't what we're going through now more indicative of that, of the late 70s, than it is the early 80s?
Well, I think so in some way, especially in that sense. But, of course, from the statistics point of view, 82 is even different. We actually had a relief rally. There were really two
yeah.
recessions officially.
Right, 81
in that period
and 83.
Of time. And so at least in the middle, there was some growth in the economy. Then we went back into a recession.
Right.
You know, it was different. Inflation was double digit. The unemployment rate went to 11%.
Prime rate was 21.
You know, it was different. You know, now we have virtually no inflation. We have over 10% unemployment.
But the emotion seemed, there's so many reasons why, there's so many things to be excited about right now. You know, beside the things that we're not happy about, there are some things that we should be excited about. We should be excited about innovation. We should be excited about, as you said, the low interest rate.
Right.
You know, there's so many things. Small businesses can play on a playing field with the big guys more than ever before. So there's so many things, and those are things I think that will bode well for a recovery if we can just get some of our systemic problems out of the way. If we get the government out of our way, Bill, and let the government quit tinkering around with things they don't belong tinkering with, and if we can get that out of our way, maybe we can get a little optimism back in the economy.
Well, I think that's right. You know, the government is promising to the harder you work and the more successful you might become coming out of this, the government is promising to take more and more and more away from you for that. And that's not a thing to look forward to, and that's one of the problems that we have. So that's why our capital spending plans are at 35-year lows.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to go expand their plant. Nobody's going to buy that new equipment because there's too much uncertainty coming up in the next 12 months.
Well, you know, Bill, your report tracks with other reports that I see and report on, especially, like you said, about the capital spending. That is not a good indicator, is it?
It isn't, because capital spending is what we really rely on to raise worker productivity, which is why, you know, workers get paid more money. It's because they have more to work with. I have a picture that I often use in my talks. It's a picture of hundreds of Chinese workers shoveling snow, each one with a snow shovel. And I said, look, what one person with a snow plow could replace all these people, and he'd be very productive. You could pay him a lot per hour.
Right.
Instead of what little you would have to pay one of these individuals. That's productivity, but somebody has to invest and build a snowplow.
Right.
And right now, nobody's doing that here.
Well, exactly. And I said that's not a good indicator. What I should have said was the information that we have this time is not good. The capital spending is a good indicator of whether the economy's doing well or not. The labor market, that's negative, too. I mean, nobody's hiring.
Yeah, that's right. We still have a few more firm owners saying they're going to reduce employment than say they're going to increase it. So we got, you know, minus 2 percentage points there. But we did get an increase of 2 points in the percent of firms with a job opening. That's the one that drives our forecast for the unemployment rate. And because of that, we said it would be stable. It wouldn't go up. And we were right on that count. But, you know, that's still amongst the weakest numbers that we've seen in 35 years of surveying. And so it's very weak.
Absolutely. And sales, when we come back after this break, we're going to get Bill to talk to us about sales. And folks, it's not good news. I'm sorry. I wish we had, we just call it like it is here. We're not happy about these numbers, but we have to tell you how it is so you can make your plans and you and I can see the job we've got in front of us, the hard work that we have yet to do. And in against all odds, against the federal government odds that we're getting out of Washington. So stand by. More to come. 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. Stay with us. Little Bob Dylan music, as covered by Jimi Hendrix, bringing us back. 7 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with us. Dr. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. Bill is chief economist for the NFIB, NFIB.com, right, Bill?
Yeah, that's it.
And so, folks, I encourage you to check them out. And if you want to change things in Washington, join an organization, as I have done, with more than one organization, who can represent you in Washington, bring your values, your small business values to the debate table, in Washington, D.C., as they have done, as the NFIB has done for generations. I encourage you to join their organization when you're given an opportunity, and you go to NFIB.com and join. Tell them you want to be part of what they're doing, and you can keep making payroll, and they'll keep fighting for you in Washington, D.C. Bill, your report is available on that website, NFIB.com. Also, smallbiz.org.
And it's spelled B-U-S, small B-U-S.
Smallbus.org. And you're very gracious to allow us to post it on our website, which we will do. And I'll be blogging about this this week as well, folks, if you want to check that out. Bill, the sales number is really troubling. I was on Fox Business a while back. and they asked me, you know, of all the problems that small businesses have with credit, with, you know, with taxes, et cetera, health care, et cetera, what's the thing, what is it small businesses need? I said, we need more sales.
Exactly
sales,
right. So
sales cures all
ills. Ask every month is, what's the most important problem facing your business today? And 34% in December said poor sales. Only 4% said financing and credit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
But yet, I
could give our small business owners free money, and they'd say, "What am I going to do with this?"
Well, see, that's the thing that our government doesn't get, Bill.
They don't,
because they're saying, "Why aren't you lending more to small businesses?" Well, Bill, when I talk to bankers, and you are part of a independent community bank. When I talk to bankers, they tell me that small businesses aren't asking for money.
Exactly. We have plenty of money to lend, especially with the savings rate going up. There are hundreds of billions of more saving pouring into our banks now. We have plenty of money to lend, but yep. We don't have good qualified applicants. And that's no surprise with capital spending plans at 35-year lows and inventory investment plans at 35-year lows and hiring plans, or job creation plans, kind of a net negative number. I mean, what do you need money for? Those are the things people usually borrow for.
That's exactly right. Inflation is a non-issue. Profits and wages, those are negative 43% net negative.
Yeah, for
profits.
Isn't that awful? That
profits.
Means 43 percentage points more of our owners said profits were headed down than said headed up.
That means
nobody said up, and that's really sad.
That means discounting. That means sales are not up enough to create enough gross profit to cover expenses.
Exactly.
And discounting is part of that, isn't it?
Exactly. Huge price cutting. You know, we have, for every person raising prices, we have about three cutting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bill, let's flip around in the 2 minutes we have left. Flip around. You're a smart guy. You're one of the smartest guys I know, especially with regard to the economy, the marketplace. What... Give us some good news. What do we have to be hopeful for in 2010?
Well, I think the thing we have hopeful for from the uncertainty side, and again, most of the uncertainty that business people face comes from government. It's things that they do and change and change the relative prices of things. So all the way from, making the interest rate either zero or some high number or whatever, or all this taxation and all these penalties, all that kind of stuff. We have to hope that in 2010 we can change Congress enough so we can bring that craziness to a halt. The other thing you have to be optimistic about is that fundamentally our economy still is driven by the private sector, and so all these small business owners out there who produce half of the private GDP, half of the output of the private sector, will still, in the end, determine the major course of the economy. So we'll eventually get it going, but Congress is making it as hard as they can for us to get started.
Yeah, Congress and the administration. But the good news about Americans and the American economy and the marketplace is that once that tipping point happens and we start actually seeing some reason to be excited and optimistic, we can move fast, can't we?
Absolutely. It's like a bubble, but it's the real bubble. It's the one that counts. It's once we decide it's okay to move ahead and commit our resources and our time and our energy, then things can go very quickly. And we have dropped so far. The response can be very, very quick. We could see a remarkable pace of job creation, for example, once we feel that there's a good reason to do that.
Which we're all anxiously waiting for. We'll just have to do it ourselves, folks. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Good job today,
Jim, thank you very much.
Happy New Year. Bill Duckerberg, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too after the news. I'm Jim Blasingame. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.